Contentment is a quiet, perhaps mute, emotion. We don't often realize how contented we are until something takes away our source of contentment. One of those "don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone" things. Or maybe it's just that contentment is a Lacan sparrow emotion, calling too softly for us to hear unless we're paying close attention. This Saturday morning, after I watered my houseplants, smiling at the abundance of Streptocarpus and African violet blossoms that bring so much vivid color to my apartment, I took Photon for a walk in the rising sunshine. Most of the ice along the marshy stream down Ellis Hollow Road had melted. Red-winged blackbird epaulets glowed like burning embers in the sun. A Carolina wren sang his jubilant song, and a hooded merganser drake displayed to his mate that funky black and white crest going up and down. When we got back to the apartment, I gave Photon her Saturday morning chew bone and made a cup of coffee for myself. My cat Casey joined us as we sat at my balcony window watching a crowd of redpolls and goldfinches pigging out and chickadees and titmice flitting in one by one, and suddenly a wave of contentment rushed over me, no little Lacan sparrow whispering from a hidden tuft of grasses, but a big honkin' trumpeter swan right in my face. I was filled with that same deep joy that I felt on a few occasions, when I looked into Russ's eyes when we said our wedding vows, when I first held my newborns in the hospital, when I stood at the Fort Kearney Bridge in Nebraska witnessing the spring sandhill crane spectacle for the first time, the moment I first enticed a black-capped chickadee to alight on my hand, when I walked into the Cornell Lab of Ornithology as the brand-new science editor on January 7th. These rushes of contentment all came after eager anticipation, and although I can conjure up memories of joyful moments, it's hard to drum up genuine contentment once it's dissipated. But lately I'm finding it easier to feel deep contentment. I miss Russ and Tommy and my mother-in-law and my Peabody Street chickadees and all my Duluth friends, but it turns out I'm finding solitude as comfortable and joyful as Thoreau did. It's enlightening to live alone, making day-to-day decisions that don't affect anyone else. I wake up at 5 and move about without fear of waking anyone else up. When the television only goes on when I turn it on, I don't miss it at all. I keep my thermostat set to 50 degrees at night, 58 in the day, without making anyone else uncomfortable. Of course, my flowers need more warmth than 58 degrees, and sometimes so do I. The warmest room in my apartment is the upstairs south-facing bedroom. The plant lights keep it warmer, and the brightness from the big window and the plant lights make this room my favorite, the one I use as my home office. It's much cheaper to keep one room lighted with fluorescents and at 64 or 65 degrees than to light and heat a whole apartment, and it's just as comfortable when you spend most of your time in that one room. To me, the very essence of immorality is to turn a blind eye to the difficulties facing other human beings or the critical dangers facing whole populations of some animals and plants. But I have more of myself to give to the causes I believe in when my life is filled with contented moments. I don't know why suddenly, at the age of 56, I'm being given so many moments of sublime contentment, but I'll take them as they come. Unlike Thoreau, I'm not truly alone. I have my dog and my cat, after all. But like me, he had the Walden birds to keep him company. I've found my personal Walden, and who could ask for more? I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.